don't know if anybody's done, like, psychedelics. There's that kind of where you have to ride it, you know? Uh-huh. Every now and then you have those experiences where it's like, ooh, and you just have to, like, sink in. Not that you guys know, not that I know. But,
never heard of it. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Okay, so listeners, we have a special guest in the Hey You Know It studio today.
Those of you who are longtime listeners will recognize the voice of the beautiful and talented Marcy Currier.
Yes.
Yay.
Welcome, Marcy.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you.
Yes, Marcy is our resident intuitive.
Yeah.
I like that title. Yes. I like being the resident anything, pretty much.
Yeah. Do you use intuitive with other people, or is it just the Hey You Know It?
No, that's what I go
by. That's what you're going by.
Well, what is it that you do?
That's the thing that gets tricky for me, because I read tarot cards, but if you start calling me a tarot card reader, that just feels weird to me. Like, as I'm like, excuse me, I'm a bunch of other things, too.
Yeah.
Okay. are there some people that just do tarot?
Yeah, I think, like, my mentor, I think, is totally comfortable. If you were, like, tarot reader, Christiana Gaudet, I think she would be like, yeah, I'm totally fine with that. But for me, it just kind of rubs me the wrong way. And I think that that's just me having issues.
Okay.
But you like that triple threat of the intuitive.
I got a lot
like,
going
you do it
on
all.
Over here.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think for me, it's a tarot card reading is one of the skills that I will bring to the table rather than how I define myself. And I think a lot of that has to do with, there are a lot of misconceptions and ideas about what tarot card reading is. And I feel like I'm misunderstood anyway.
Okay.
And then we don't need to add on a label that people, you know what I mean?
Because sometimes people get scared. They're like, oh my God, you're going to know that I, you know, I'm thinking this. It's not true. You don't really know what people are thinking.
Right. Or care.
And you,
is
and
the
you
other
don't
one.
Predict the future. Because a person asked me there, like, look, do you ask her what's going to happen next? It's like, no. How would
not
you
really.
Know that?
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, yeah. if.
Right. Like, later on today, what's going to happen?
If you,
you know, but that's what people think.
And my thing is, I think tarot card reading is a divination process, a divination tool. You can predict the future. Like that, I mean, that is something that can be done with the cards to a reasonable degree of accuracy. But what that means is that everything right now needs to stay the same to create that future. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we're reading right now, we're predicting the future from this kind of isolated moment in time. And as long as you don't change, that prediction stands. That future is what you're heading toward. My feeling and like deep conviction is that the present moment is much more powerful than anything else. And so why not get a really good solid look at the present moment? And if there's something that you need to tweak or something that you're like, oh, well, this is off, this attitude, this stance that you're taking, this thing you're about to do, this person you're engaging with, if you can adjust that and then alter the future, why not do that? That's a lot.
So I've never thought about that before. Yeah. So it's not so much in having you tell me what's going to happen, but me thinking about what I'm doing now and trying to get the type of outcome that I would want or avoid an outcome that
well,
I don't want.
I'll give you kind of a neat example. So I'm doing a yoga teacher training, and before I signed up for it, I had gotten a reading about it, and the person doing my reading, her kind of answer was like, this isn't a good idea. There are a number of factors that are getting in the way. You probably shouldn't do it. And then, so I kind of like, I took that reading in, I processed it, and then I adjusted the things that needed to be adjusted. So there was some sort of discord between me and my teacher. There was kind of an attitude I had toward being in a group. So I had all that stuff. And I just, like, so when I talked to my reader later, she was like, oh, so you didn't do the training? And I'm like, no, I did it. And she was like, "How? Tell me how that worked. And I was like, oh, I just adjusted the things that were creating that scenario.
Oh, yeah.
And yoga teacher training has been amazing. Just wonderful.
Really? I have had several friends who have done it, and I have questioned each of their motives for it. Because a lot of them, like you, I was like, are you really going to go into this group atmosphere where it's with for whatever for a whole week with these other women and sometimes there's guys as well that you don't know and participate in this kind of what could be touchy-feely, you don't know what the vibe is going to be like, you know.
And I just have a very hard time in groups. I get frustrated. There's a lot, and part of it is there's a lot of information going on. So, you know, if two people interacting, each person has like spoken things that are going on and then unspoken and then subconscious on top of what they're consciously processing. So there's just watching a bunch of people interact. I want to kind of like run through and go, stop! And like get everyone to kind of be more like honest about where they're coming from or what's going on.
And people don't want that.
No, they really don't.
People don't want to be honest and open.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. More and more I meet people who are just ready. I think that with kind of the times that we're living in, it really is you open up and you be real or you don't survive. Or, you know, you go crazy or you have a very hard time. And I think more and more people, there really is an awakening happening just in what I'm witnessing, where more and more people are realizing, like, my shit is and, like, pardon the language.
No, you can. It's all right.
Oh, please.
but you know what I mean? Like, and I will do whatever it takes to not feel the way I feel right now. And I think that's happening. It's kind of been one of the things that's predicted about this time in our societal development, that we need to kind of wake up and connect more deeply. And,
yes.
be more real and be more honest. The superficial doesn't really work. And you're seeing this, if you look around kind of at the world, you're seeing this split. You can even see it in really clearly in the politics, right? So you've got kind of fear and hate on one side. And the people that are involved and engaged in that way, it's really, they're doing it. Like, it seems real. That's their real world. That's the reality. And the immigrants are taking our jobs and everything's this and
it
whatever.
Should have been the way it was, you know, however 50 years ago, whatever it was.
And that's real. Like, those people are those people. But you know what I mean? Like,
it's not us.
The thing is, like, romanticizing it, like, those bygone days. They're making up what it was like.
Yeah.
Because it was what they think it was. It's not true.
I was just having a kind of conversation with someone about people now want to be able to discriminate against people. They don't want to serve certain types of people based on religion or based on your sexuality. And I'm like, but we already did that.
Yeah,
all already decided that doesn't work.
Yeah, a good idea.
And so the guy was like, well, maybe everyone should just put up, you know, a signs of what they were. And I'm like, yeah, and then maybe you should go back to spitting in my mom's face in the 60s because that's what happened to her. Because people, we already decided that wasn't working.
Yeah, I saw it was a Facebook meme that said, I don't know why people are nostalgic about the 1950s. We still have milkshakes and racism.
I never heard positive things from people about that time period.
Right. You have that on one hand, and then you have people that are like, you know, that system's broken. Really obvious inclusion and
basic humanity.
Yeah. So. And I think like you literally have groups of people living in one or the other of those realities. And that's the kind of split in awareness that has been predicted for a really long time.
Because we've talked about this before, like where I'm from was a very racist and very limiting environment. Those of us who weren't down with that moved, leaving behind those who aren't either can't get out or aren't as annoyed by that level of being closed off in the state. It kind of amplifies it.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a sort, you know, it's a big sorting.
Yeah.
Of people who want to go in the one direction and then leaving behind those other people in the other direction.
And then, have you ever noticed that, like, you try to reason with people, you know, and you're like, well, here's why this is better. And there's no way to get one to the other side, you know?
Well, I think people don't think, like, in terms of the, like, not wanting to serve people who are different than you, I hear it from a lot of people who don't have a background or they're in a group that has not been disserved by that. So it's like, it's always like some old white guy who's like, well, what's the big deal? I'm like, yeah, you're saying that because you don't think you're the person who's going
to,
there's not
going to
be a sign that says no white guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's not happened to you yet.
And if they, if there was, they would cry.
Yeah.
They would be so hurt.
They'd be horrified.
That was something, this is totally off the subject, but we'll come back. But this big realization that I had is that I think many white people think racism or people who've been discriminated against being upset has to do with hurt feelings.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because when I see a white person complain about racism or discrimination, it's always like, well, I wanted to do this thing and I couldn't.
And that felt bad.
That's racist. And then, like, so it was this realization, like,
it's always that.
They don't understand that we're not talking about, like, a bunch of black people whose feelings are hurt. We're talking about people whose entire lives are impacted by a systemic way of doing things that is not fair.
There's never been, you know, God hates straights.
Right.
You know, like, kind of a thing. Like, there's never, you know.
So anyway, I don't know how we got off on that, but it's an interesting time that we live in, you know.
So how, in terms of like what you're doing with your tarot, how is that affecting your work?
Yeah, I'm working with people on an ongoing basis, pretty much only. I might have talked about this before. I think I had started this a little while ago. But what I realized is that people would call me when they had an emergency. And it would usually be, like, deep in the emergency.
It's too late.
And all you can do is kind of, like, calm, you know, it's like, okay, well, this is how terrible everything's going to be. And then you get through it. Mm-hmm. And so I started working where I'd see people for 4 sessions at a minimum. And those sessions can take place every 2 weeks, every 6 weeks, every 3 months. That part doesn't matter. But it's more, is there a focused attention to your progress and to your process? And that is great. And one kind of, like, side benefit that I never thought about, but think about it. If you're getting, say you're getting 4 tarot card readings over the course of a year, you get a heads up on things. Like, before it happens, you kind of, you see it coming. So there's a lot more awareness around kind of how things are going and the trend, and a lot less disaster of, oh, suddenly, you know, this. Because, like, say, let's, for example, take getting fired from your job. Before you get fired from your job, a lot has to happen. You have to be unhappy there. Like, no one gets fired from a job that they're genuinely happy at.
That's, you're so many people say 100%. This is, you know, is totally.
And then you have to be kind of fucking up, whether you know it or not. Other people have to know that you're fucking up. Or, you know, including with all that, your boss has to, like, not like you or have some sort of issue. And those things have to happen first. And they have to build, they build over time. Nobody just gets fired overnight. Few, you know, rarely.
It's
does that
most
happen.
People, it's like you can feel it coming.
And usually it's like,
totally feel it
it's
coming.
Usually that you should have stood up and quit ages ago.
Because I always say for any job, you probably should have quit ages ago. Like, doesn't matter
just
what
quit
the
your
job
Everyone quit just your job.
Quit. I've quit every job I've ever had.
That's the thing. That's like when you're unhappy in a job and you know it's time to go, you have to start moving fast. Because when you realize that.
They've already realized it.
And you don't know they realized
you're
it.
You're the last
they
to
know. But you just like think that you have time. You don't have time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's just something, you want to be, I forgot who said this, it's not original, but you want to be the engine, not the caboose. You want to be in charge of your destiny, you want to be, like, running the show. But so imagine that you have someone not only saying, hey, it seems like you're unhappy here, so maybe you're not paying attention to the fact that you're unhappy. Maybe you're doing what, you know, you said, Katie, like, you're ignoring it. But now you have someone that says, like, you seem unhappy, and now you have to acknowledge it. And then you have someone that says, why don't you just quit? Like, what have you always wanted to do? Who did you want to be when you were little? What else interests you? And you have kind of someone pushing and prodding you to take that risk, take that leap, to at least kind of generate other interests. It, like, it changes things. So it's cool seeing, it's been a couple years now, and seeing my clients just grow. And kind of one big thing is that I see a lot less neurotic behavior. And I think that just has to do with having someone go, like, you're doing it. Like, what if you didn't do that?
No.
And that's it. I mean, you know, we work together a little bit. And there's just something nice about having someone check in with you and be like, you're good. You're fine. You're good.
Right. I've done the packages with you. I've gone to you multiple times. And, you know, I was a psychology major. And I believe in therapy and talking and trying to, you know, be a little more introspective and all of that. And one of the things I like about you and the way you work is that, you know, you're not a psychology major, and you're not going to go through that particular process, which I already, I know I've gone through, and it's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's a different, it's like, my mom has 2 process. Degrees in psychology, so I've also been through that type of logic.
And it's okay.
It can work, and
it's very good, and there's therapy is a very good tool, and I believe a lot of people should be talking more and taking stock of what's going on. But your approach is different, and you're not with a religion, you're not with a certain school of thought. It is working based on intuition and insights and being able to see things that, you know, the average person is not going to pick up.
Yeah, and just kind of stepping into the reality of the other person. That's kind of what I do. It's like, oh, how does the world look to you? And let's talk from there. I think we've all been talked at by someone that we disagree with. But my job is sort of like, let me go in and, like, get to your point of view so that we are in agreement, and then kind of nudge from there. The other thing to think about is, like, psychology and therapy, they really exist kind of in the realm of the mind. And so I actually have a lot of psychotherapists on my client roster. And I think it's because there's the mind, and you can just explore that to death. But if you don't get outside of that somewhere and be really connecting with sort of the fabric of your emotional body, mm-hmm. or what's going on energetically, or just the deep, you know, the deep-rooted history. So not just, oh, well, my dad was a plumber and my mom died when I was 7. You know, it's not that. It's what are the patterns that you've inherited? A lot of times I'm working with genetics. You know, I'll see a pattern and it's like, oh, this pattern has been, you know, there for years. Interesting, I will definitely see the potato famine is a big one. Like if I, like I'll
really?
Yeah, if I'm working really? With someone and I will,
this
it's
is
like,
the idea, I'll just interrupt you a second,
sure.
that, that emotional memory is passed down through DNA and it's
yeah.
in your cells. So the things that affected the generations before you. And I think on another episode of our podcast, we had a scientist.
No, we had scientists.
And
oh,
we
cool.
talked
about
that emotional, mm-hmm. that emotional memory and how that's something that is really, it's quite physical.
I see it as an imprint. Like I'll, it's kind of like I'm looking at the person's field and there's sort of like a little divot. And then I can look at what that,
oh.
like that divot is. And I see it and feel it, you know.
Why the potato famine?
Well, because it was a huge time of lack and of deep fear around survival. So it kind of imprints on the root chakra, on the, you know, sense of like, are things going to be okay? And maybe they really won't be. So I'll be sitting with someone and maybe, you know, they're worried about work or they're worried about their kids or something. And it will kind of go like, oh, wait a minute. Are you Irish? Do you know that you have like family members that have, that came over after the potato famine? And they're always like, that's so weird. I think so. Yeah. So that, slavery always shows up as an imprint and it's always,
oh yeah, that's
can
not
we
going
clear
anywhere.
This?
And it's a good point that you bring up because people are always like, ah, get over it. It's like, really?
It's so, yeah, right? It's so deeply yeah. embedded.
Yeah, you get over it.
That the only thing that there really is to do is like gently
yeah.
kind of rub
it's a,
it.
These are, you know, migration and trauma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know, meeting together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if it's still being mirrored, you know, if it's imprinted so deep that it's still being created in your current reality. And then just, so a lot of the big imprints have to do around, like you said, trauma and, survival and then self image, like, that this is the way you have to do things. These are the limitations you have to put on yourself in order to be okay. And so I love clearing those because people feel totally different afterwards.
I bet. It's not like a weight lifted off.
It's a completely
yeah.
unconscious limitation that you don't, you know, where you're like, you don't even know you're doing it. I mean, mm-hmm. We've all got those where you're like,
right.
Then you're like, oh, I didn't know I was even.
Well, sometimes
it like that.
You have an issue like that, but you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
It's like, why do I have this problem?
Yeah.
And you don't know.
And you might not think, oh, maybe it's the potato famine, because that makes no sense.
And also, you can realize that you don't have to really carry this around, that it's not something that you're psychologically damaged. It's like another influence
yeah.
that's coming in through a side door that
yeah.
you're like, oh,
and
I
then,
can put this here.
So even if it's not a large cultural pattern, if it's, you know, like say your great grandfather had a great financial loss by taking a risk and he took a big loss, that can impact you so that you're afraid to take risks. And it's, I know, I'm aware that it sounds a little nutty. Do you know what I mean? And I really am.
But why not explore it? I mean, it's not that insane.
Right.
It's not like race, which is a completely ridiculous concept
right.
that we cling
yeah.
to.
Right.
Right.
But it's weird for me because I don't, like, that's not my go-to. I'm not like, ooh, let me look for the weirdest possible answer here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I'll be in the reading and it shows up and then I go, oh, could it be this? And they go, oh my God, it's crazy.
Mm.
So I like that. That's been really fun. Mostly I've been working with people on, like, coming out of stuck patterns. So you guys will really like this.
Okay.
What are you trying to say?
Well, so one of the things, you know when you have that feeling of, like, I really want to do this? But I also hate doing that, and I don't want to do that, so I want to do this other thing. And
yeah,
it's
and
like,
then you're like, I can't do my other thing because it's not going to fill my needs.
Yeah.
It's not going to pay the bills.
Right, so
yeah.
then you get stuck, and you're kind of like...
Yeah.
So what happens in a reading is those parts kind of show up to me as separate people or entities, and they have kind of... They look a certain way, they have a whole background, they have a whole... It's like a little movie plays out, and then my job is to communicate with them for you, and tell you what they're saying. And so it's this kind of odd sort of mediumship where I'm channeling the internal parts of people.
No kidding.
And then getting them to get along. So there might be like, well, she ruins everything because she doesn't know how to do this. And then the other one's like, I'm just trying to have a good time over here.
Yeah.
And my job is to do like mediation where I'm like, does she really ruin everything or are you just afraid? Do you know that he's really afraid that you're going to like make a
right.
risk, take a risk that doesn't work out? And then it's like marriage counseling. But
that's so
inside the person, it's so fun. It's so fun. It's amazing because you don't, I don't know, you don't think in of terms. Like, we like the idea that we're one individual, and I don't think I've met anyone that is, like, fully integrated as one aspect, you know.
I'm at least six people today. Yeah.
But that makes a lot of sense why there's this constant ping pong of conflict that never ends.
Yeah.
I want to pay the bills, I want to have a lot of money, but I hate the job that I can do,
yeah,
and I can make a lot of money at, and it, I, you know, and the idea of doing that is killing me,
and one
but I have to.
One of the things that happens
or you
is
think you have to.
Yeah. We try to, like, so if you have two sides, like, one says you have to keep this job, and one says you have to quit this, and here you are as sort of the, you know, the whole entity kind of ping-ponging. Mm-hmm. What we usually do is we think we have to come up with, like, we have to end up on a side. But as long as that splits there, you can't end up on one side, yeah, because you always have the alternate voice kind of pulling you out of that side. So if you can see that you are kind of overseeing these two voices and then let those two voices coexist, you can kind of find some movement in there. You can find some compromise. You can find a way to connect and move forward. So part of it is just pulling yourself out of trying to figure out what side of yourself you're on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's fun. I really love what I've been doing lately. And more and more, I have clients that are just brilliant and creative and open. And I love working with people that kind of have, like, something different or something interesting going on. You know, the aliens and the weirdos and the...
Yeah.
I'm not calling my clients aliens or weirdos.
Right. I mean, those could be
positive. But if that self applies, you can take it.
So I want to say, speaking of stuff you're doing, what are you doing in town right now?
So in town right now is the
New York City.
New York, yeah. City, at the luxurious LaGuardia Marriott.
You're right.
How is it? I always see it on
I
the way to the airport.
I actually really like it.
Yeah, I assume it's a nice, it's nice hotel, but it's like airport hotel kind of has a connotation of, like,
It's nice. There's a little bit of, like, the shining in, down some of the hallways. I'll take
nice.
A picture for you guys. There's definitely this sense of, like, whoa, 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 whoa. So about 250 or so, maybe a little more, tarot readers convene. This mm-hmm. is the 17th, I think. No, the 14th. It's called the Reader Studio. So Ruth Ann and Wald Amberstone are the creators of the Tarot School, which is here in New York City.
Okay.
And so 14 years ago, I think is what he said. They started the Reader Studio. It's a tarot conference. It's international. They're like, right now, there's people from Australia arriving. There are people from England and China. And it's
wow.
gotten bigger and
so
bigger.
So it's just
bigger.
Starting today is the opening day?
Well, they do a tarot and psychology conference on Thursday, mm-hmm. usually. So most people get in on Wednesday. And then they have the tarot and psychology conference. Then more people get in on Thursday night. And it's also, I can't describe, it's just really fun. Really eclectic group of people, all with this major thing in common, from all over the world, all over the country, with all different, you know, you have brand new readers who are hobbyists, you have people that have been in the game and literally written the books on tarot that show up, and you just all get to hang out at the bar together.
That sounds
so cool. So the, like, you know, the editor-in-chief of Llewellyn is, like, a friend of mine because of going to tarot.
So you can network,
readers
you guys
together.
Can tighten up your
yeah.
Your
is there
connections.
Professional development and things like that? You guys
yeah.
showing each other.
Yeah,
different
they. So there's this sort of osmosis that happens when you have a bunch of people in the same profession just gathering together. And I like it's funny to think about it as networking, because with networking, I always think of some kind of, like, almost like a canned sort of thing, or we're networking.
Yeah,
but this is, like,
no,
coming.
Here's my
home.
Card.
Yeah,
this
my
is
tarot
like
card.
For many, many people. This is like the place where you can breathe, where you just feel like yourself. And it really is extraordinary. And people, we're the most probably interesting looking convention that comes through.
I bet. I wonder if there's another convention there that it's like, you know, plates.
Last time we were there, there was a gas station manager convention.
Wow.
Last
wow.
year.
Wow.
It was like, whoop.
I'm just like I'm just imagining toupees as far as the eye can see for some
right.
reason.
Like, gold chains.
Yeah. Gold chains and toupees.
So yeah, the readers, it's great. So they have, they usually have three main presenters, uh-huh. and it's maybe someone that's got a book that's come out recently or has somehow caught the eye of the community. Uh-huh. And then they have study groups. So they're probably, I think there are 12 study groups, which are a couple hours long. Everything from this year they're doing how to heal relationship trauma using the cards, reading through the ages, how to use the same cards to read for different people of different age groups.
Huh.
I mean, those are just two that I can think of off the top of my head.
But you have a special prominence in this.
So this one
conference.
Well, this is a funny thing. Just a little quick backstory. I was talking to Wald, and so years ago when I attended my first Reader Studio conference, it was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I'm so embarrassed by this, but I went up to him and I was like, "So how do I get to be a presenter?"
Oh, okay.
And I do that a lot where I'm just like. And then I'm like, oh, like years later, I realized how kind of precocious and obnoxious that kind of was.
That's all right.
To do.
I mean, you gotta ask for things.
You gotta find out.
Yeah.
The information. And I mean, the answer was sort of like, you chill the fuck out and you stop thinking that, like, you're ready for something like that. I mean, that was basically the
how to get to Carnegie Hall.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they, on Saturday night, there's a big banquet. People dress up as tarot cards. People dress up in fancy dresses.
That's awesome.
All kinds of...
A lot of wands in the room.
Yeah, and like, lots of headpieces and just anything. I mean, really, whatever's going through your head, yep, like, that pretty much happens. and this year, they invited me to do the entertainment. So every year, it's sort of, it's... That less than ideal time between end of dinner and beginning of dessert.
Oh, God. Check where, spot.
But, so they invited me to do entertainment, which I thought was really cool because that's how I met you guys, was doing entertainment.
That's right. I saw Marcy at one of the comedy theaters, the Magnet Theater in New York. A friend was in the show, and I saw it was, what was it about? It was, you would read from somebody, you would do a reading for somebody in the audience, and then the improvisers would act it out.
Right, they did the scene based on that. That was
funny.
That was really fun and, like, hairy, because you're always like, oh, is it going to be okay?
Yeah. sometimes...
It was exciting, though. As an audience member, it was really neat to... there was such excitement in the air, because you didn't know what was going to happen. This was all, you know, not staged. It was all very much in the moment.
Yeah, and tarot readings really are, like, there is this excitement that comes from, like, I have no idea... what I'm going to say next or what's going to happen. So it all started, I do a live show where I just read cards for people. That is where I'm most comfortable. Like, sit me at a table, let me just read cards. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that, like, that is not going to entertain a bunch of tarot card readers.
Yeah.
No, they've seen it.
I mean, mildly it will, like, but it's not, like, so, you know. We're doing an improv show with people who are not skilled in improv. And,
oh my God, that's gonna be awesome.
Who may or may not really be interested in doing it. So it should be.
They might be really good if they just let themselves go with it.
Here's the thing about tarot card readers is I think by nature most tarot card readers are some, maybe not all, but many, are somewhat theatrical, very willing to be in the moment and just express what's right there. And everyone that's at this thing knows how to read a card. And that's all, you know, that's really the thing that they're going to be asked to do is, can you read a card? Can you do this? And I feel, you know, I'm a hosting, so I can kind of do my thing. And we're calling it an experiment. No idea how it's going
to
go.
That sounds like fun. I think it's hard, yeah. Well, that's the thing. You have to try these things out, and, you know, if they don't go over, you're going to find something new.
Yeah.
But, or you may find something that works. Like, you may be doing this for the first time, and this may work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right. You can always tweak it as you go.
Yeah, I had a lot of different incarnations of the idea, and I feel like it might continue to evolve up until the moment, or even as we're on stage.
Yeah.
I'm really, really excited, and really, like, you know, sounds corny, but, like, very honored that I can't imagine a more perfect spot for me right now, you know? Yeah.
It's a very prestigious, place in that.
Yeah, it's exciting in this particular
conference.
Yeah. I prefer that challenge over maintaining people's attention span for 2 to 3 hours and yapping about, you know, a topic. Just for me personally,
you're like slide one, the tarot.
This is the magician.
Coins. All right, cool. So, I mean, we have you here.
Yes,
you do.
So,
So how about, would you, there's two things in particular I'd like, if you can pull a card for the audience, for the Hey You Know It listeners.
Yeah.
As like one collective mind.
Here you guys. Yeah. With that.
This is something, this is something.
Here's
that,
the deal, buddies.
Yes.
They have one thing in common, and that's that they listen to us.
Yeah.
So we know that they're cool people who have excellent taste.
Very good taste. Yeah. Discriminating.
And they have at least 45 minutes.
Yeah. So if they're listening to this show,
they've got some downtime. Yeah, or a long commute.
Or a long commute, yeah.
If you could...
okay. So just a kind of a card of what I like to do is, what do you most need to hear right now? And what do you, you know, what's the thing that's going to give you a little...
Some zing.
I'm doing
She's
the
making
the
hand gesture for pizzazz.
Yeah.
What is the, yeah, so the for the Hey You Know It listener, what is the thing that you really need to know right now in this moment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, cool. So that card right now.
Pull that card.
This is for you people.
This is for you.
Don't say we never did anything for you.
You guys coined the idea of like Marcy's pulling cards on people. I still use that.
Really?
that was Jaquetta.
Copyright.
Yeah. TM.
Yeah. You have to play a chime after you say it.
So Marcy, I see a picture.
Marcy's shuffling the cards. All right. Getting the right card to...
Okay. Well, Jaquetta, do you want to pick it?
I get to pick a card.
Okay.
All right.
For the listeners, the thing you most need to know right now. So if you're listening, just pause, take a breath, get ready. So the card that comes up is the moon. I'm going to talk about this card a little bit. The traditional meaning of the moon is deception, treachery, and illusion.
Oh.
But here's the thing.
Okay.
The original,
but wait, there's more.
Well, the original concept of the moon really comes from a patriarchal system. The moon actually represents feminine, divine feminine energy.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the male is the sun and the female is the moon.
And the cycle and all that kind of.
So what we actually have is a deep yin energy where not everything is overt, not everything is revealed, not everything is, you know, out there doing it. So when the moon comes up, one of the things is it says, pay attention to your dreams. Wake up to the fact that, like, you don't actually know what's going on.
Okay.
I'm down with that.
That as much as you may feel very clear, there's a mystery that's coexisting with you at all times. And honor your intuition, that it's time to really go, like, huh, what else could be here? And it is sort of a... Not all is as it seems, but not in a dangerous or diabolical way, but just in if you think about daytime, so imagine daytime. Mm-hmm. Now imagine that same scene in the nighttime. It looks different.
Yeah.
And you have to step more carefully. You might reach out and get help from people just so that you're not stumbling around in the dark alone. That's kind of what this moon is talking about. So there's an invitation to really go into the deeper aspects of yourself. Look for, your own shadow stuff, ways in which you may not be being totally honest, unearthing and bringing things to the surface, and accessing your intuition. So if you're listening to this, there is a part of you that wants to be seen and heard that isn't often seen and heard. And it's up to you to go say, hey, I want to see and hear you now.
That's fascinating.
Be happy to see and hear you if you email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Send us an email.
Be heard.
And be heard.
Yeah. You won't be seen because you're not seeing us either.
Yeah, but that's step one. So I guess, yeah.
Speak out.
And I really like the, I think that background of patriarchy is so important because many of the cards have that kind of distortion where you're like, oh, wait, what does this actually mean?
Yeah.
You know, because also, if anyone here is interested in the cards, you know, if you look at the swords in the deck, the swords represent mind. And I've probably talked about this before. It's definitely, like, one of my soapbox topics. But all of the swords cards are kind of negative. Mm-hmm. Or many of them. Not all of them, but many of them. And I think it just has to do with we have a negative relationship with how our brains work.
Oh,
you know, we have a negative relationship with our own thought processes. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how to process uncomfortable thoughts. So we're just like, oh, this is bad. Instead of going like, oh, I realize something, like the Three of Swords is really, it's about disillusionment, but it's the one with the three hearts going into the sword and people usually read it as something awful is about to happen. And it's more like you were wrong. You're going to find out that you're wrong. That's
and
right.
It's a big deal because we're human
wouldn't
beings.
You rather,
I'm usually wrong.
And wouldn't you rather know you're wrong than not know you're right?
I have a question about this card. There's a small crab at the bottom. Is that a crab?
Yeah, it's a lobster.
Oh, what is that?
Delicious.
It has to do with
the butter on the side.
Well, one interpretation is that even all things seek light. So even the creature from the deepest depths seeks the light of the moon.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So there's that, and you know, usually there are the two pillars, and then usually there's this kind of path. So it's the idea of just like you have guideposts even in the dark. You still have a direction to head in, even if you can't see the outcome. And it's an encouragement to like develop comfort in that space, in the not knowing, in the unclear. I don't know if anybody's done like psychedelics. There's that kind of where you have to ride it, you know, every now and then you have those experiences where it's like, ooh, and you just have to like sink in. Not that you guys know, not that I know, but
never heard of it.
But you know, where you just have to kind of cruise and you breathe and you might feel weird or you don't know what's going on or whatever. You just have to like hang in there. And that's kind of another piece of the moon is that you don't know how it is. And the truth is none of us know and we never have known. And any idea of like clarity and knowing is at the very, very best, it's a tiny percentage of truth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's one of the annoying things that as you get older, I think now I can think that 20 years ago, what I thought I was going to be doing, I had no fucking idea, obviously.
Yes. Oh, my God.
At all. Yeah. At all.
Oh, and the things that you knew to be true.
Yes.
And this is exactly the right
way. When you
say,
like, this is what I'm going to be doing, this is the path I'm going to take, well, these are the places I'm going to go, and then you don't know any of that stuff.
This is a very timely conversation because we're hitting on grad party season, and I do a lot of tarot card readings. Mm-hmm. You know those grad parties where the kids, they like bus the kids to a location? In my case, it's a bowling alley on
down.
A sub base.
Huh?
In Connecticut, yeah.
Yeah, what they do for the kids that graduate, like high school you're talking about, is there's a lot of drunk driving accidents that surround graduation.
So they like lock in?
Yeah, so they lock you down. We went to a gym, like a big health club.
Yeah.
And we were locked in there for the night. And we, swam.
You don't
want to
die.
Playful.
I mean, you know.
It's just so strange that that's the way that we handle. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Right.
But it's like we really need to get a control over our culture that we can't, you know what I mean? That we can't
grip on it.
That people can't be trusted on graduation night.
So you're saying that you're.
And I've been doing this for years. It's one of my first professional gigs. And these gigs are hilarious. They start at 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. I get done at 5 a.m.
Yikes.
And then I'm reading for, like, overtired teenagers who just graduated. Mm-hmm. And they all want to know about their future. They all want to know about, like, majoring in college. They all want to know if they're going to be successful.
No.
And it's hilarious because, like, sometimes I'll look at them and I'm like, listen, I'm 37 years old and I'm reading your tarot cards in the middle of the night. Like, that's sometimes your life goes that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that you don't know.
You just don't
you
know.
Never,
know.
Even if you knew that you wanted to get into tarot, you
There's
never
no way.
Could have predicted that you'd
never.
Be doing lock-in.
Or be here.
Yeah,
like,
in
it's just
studio.
You just never know. And not knowing is better because, for me, one of the things that motivates me to say yes when someone says, hey, do you want to be on our podcast? Or, hey, do you want to do this event? Is, well, who knows what that could lead to?
Yeah.
Who knows where I could end up? But but it's so funny because I always just want to take the kids and kind of shake them and be like, your life is, there's so much ahead of you.
Yeah.
You know,
and
when I was 17, I mean, I just, it's crazy. And then even, I spent all this time going and getting my bachelor's degree and I double majored in international relations and American studies with a minor in psych and sociology and like blah, blah, blah. And then here I am. I take naps every day at 2:30 and I read tarot cards like on the phone. Like,
I think about
that
sometimes too, because I've had a lot of schooling. I'm doing like my second master's right now. And you knew what you wanted to do, right? You knew you wanted to do psychology before you started. So did I. I was going to be a psychologist.
Yeah.
And on the first day of classes, when they were like, all right, go sign up for your major, I somehow found my way to the theater department.
I love that.
Every semester, I was like, I really like theater, so I'm going to always have a theater class, always have it. So I have a theater minor, and I did not
that's
major
a combination.
It was good. And that's what got me into improv, because I had theater and psychology, and they were putting together a group of performers who would go to schools and do improv and teach kids how
to deal with their emotions and things like that.
Yeah, or, you know, drug abuse or suicide, and we would write these shows. and then talk to the kids in character.
I remember being a kid and seeing having people come in and be like, we're going to talk about...
And all you're just glad you don't have to sit and, like, listen to your teacher talk. Like, yeah. This is fine. I don't know what
they're
going to
do a play about weed?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so it was an like, improv show.
That's so
and we
cool.
had our beats and we talked to the kids. And that's what I was... I got into that because of my...
Mm-hmm. So at what point were you like, oh, I actually just want to do theater. Let me keep it real with myself.
Oh, God.
Because how many people are doing theater on the side?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what happened.
I did medieval studies in theater. I clearly didn't want a job. Right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just didn't want to do anything.
Yeah, I
and
know.
I delayed graduating. It took me 7 years. I kept dropping out and going back. Because I was like, what the hell am I going to do? Maybe work at a Ren Fair?
That's
the only, you know.
So
what kind of, aside from asking about their futures, like, do you ever get any off
My favorite color question
or
was,
weird?
There was this kid who was deeply terrified that he was going to lose his morality when he went to college.
I should hope so.
That's kind of how I felt.
What was his morality? That he was so whole?
He just,
was
it he tied had, up in sexuality or was it
It
just...
seemed like he just had a lot of ideas about what it, like being a good person. And it, I think there was sex in it. I think there was drugs. Like it was all of, it was every mm-hmm. little facet of morality. And he was really afraid that that was going to happen. And it was, I mean, first of all, do you have to be a fortune teller to know that, like, yeah, you're going to change when you go to college? And, like, some of these limiting sort of beliefs that you have are going to fall away.
And they may come back, but, you know, like, college is a time we just kind of do whatever.
I was interested in knowing what was his idea of morality. Yeah. Or was it, because some people think it is all about sex, and it's not. It's the way you treat other people.
It was a bunch. He had a very kind of rigid idea of how to be a person. And it was like, using, even with the cards, it was like really clear that he was going to change and evolve. But what kind of came up was this idea that he would be on board with that change and that evolution. So the person that he is right now is worrying about it.
At 17.
But it wouldn't be something that he'd be worrying about as it happened. Like mm-hmm. it would actually, he'd kind of wake up and go, oh, this change needs to happen so that the changes would all be really good for him. In a way that he couldn't perceive at the moment. That was maybe my favorite question.
I like that idea, because it's kind of like when you get to college and you're like, wait a minute, I'm not a homophobe. Sweet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, like you discover things about yourself.
Yeah.
Or you realize that, like, oh, I actually do have a work ethic.
Yeah.
You know, like
I
actually can
handle
it. Or you don't.
Yeah. Or these things will happen to you and you have to decide how to handle it. And then you're like, oh, wow, I really handled that well or I didn't. And what does that mean? But the thing about, you know, these kids when they're saying, oh, you know, what am I going to do in college? What am I going to study? And these are the huge questions. The things that really change your life are the teeny tiny decisions.
Yeah.
It really turns out to be who you sat next to in class.
Yep.
It turns out, like, who you struck up that conversation with.
Or weird, maybe a professor for some reason that took a liking to you or didn't take
a
liking to you.
I had one professor. He was there for a summer. I wish I could remember his name because I would give him a shout out, but he was from NYU and he was just a visiting professor for the summer. And I wrote a paper he did. It was like cultural study of whiteness, you know, that like when in the 90s, when like whiteness or the early 2000s, whiteness
white studies.
Was a thing.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, social constructs of racism. And I kind of told my life story, which has a lot of diversity in it. And his comment was, this is wonderful. You are naive and cynical, but a delight nonetheless.
Yeah.
And like that, at the time I bristled and I was like, you can't be both. You can't be naive and cynical. What do you mean?
Well, your naivete was not allowing you to see that you could be naive and cynical.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So, but I always loved that. I always liked, and that like impacted me where I thought about that all the time. And then, Blanche Boyd, who's a Southern feminist writer, licked the table to prove an example of something in the class. That was awesome. But yeah, it's like those little moments. She was telling us a story about how she went to college and the professor was talking about how, like, you never know what's going to happen and how and he said, you know, like, your teacher might just lick the table. And then she was like, so, you know, he then just, and then she licked the table to demonstrate that he had licked the table. It was, it was magical.
That's
like,
awesome.
If you're 20 years old and this, like, avant-garde kind of thing is happening. It was great. Anyway, that doesn't... So I have this bachelor's degree that I busted my ass for.
Yeah.
I'm like $60,000 in debt because of that stupid thing.
Yeah.
And I don't regret it at all, but I went to 3 colleges to get it.
Wow.
I worked 3 jobs while I had a toddler to get it.
Jeez.
And it was, you know, it was just like that would consume my life. And here I am. It's 2 a.m. I'm reading tarot cards, talking to you about your high school boyfriend. Like,
yeah.
That's how it goes. I love reading for teenagers is fun because you get everything from kind of silly boyfriend questions. I've talked to people who were struggling with their sexual identity and coming out. I've talked to people who needed to like get out of an abusive relationship with their parents. It's really, there are certain moments during those, the grad party readings where you can tell something life-changing is happening in that instant. Just something really big that they're going to remember forever has just, like, occurred. And that's, you know, what more can you ask for, really?
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
That's
really cool.
So do you want to add,
There was something else you wanted to add.
The second one was, for us, because we're...
Because it's us.
Okay. So what is
I love we have the masses of your millions of listeners mm-hmm. on one hand, and then...
Billions.
Do. Billions. Okay.
That's up to you. Whatever you want to do. We're here.
Okay. Let's do... So why don't you, since Jaquetta picked the last one, Katie, why don't you pick one?
And this is for us, for you guys.
What do you most need to know
Need to know?
Queen of Wands. The Queen of Wands is just awesome.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like radiate your brilliance. Don't care what anyone thinks. Shine. Bring your creativity to the fore. It's the element of fire. So fire represents creativity.
Okay.
And it's kind of like when I talk about wands and the element of fire, if you found someone lying on the ground and you wanted to figure out if they were dead or alive, what's the first thing you would check?
Pulse?
If they were breathing.
If they were hot or cold.
Oh.
Right? Like if you felt them and they were cold.
Eventually, Kate, I would get her. We'd be doing CPR on a piece
he's
of ice.
He's ice cold, but he's not breathing. I don't know what's going on.
This is our EMT.
I really hope you guys never find me cold on the ground.
You know, I didn't even think about where I would check for. I was going to touch his cheek and see if there's a pulse. You know what I'm saying? Then I was just going to go right into CPR.
That example didn't really work. But
new material.
The Queen of Wands, or fire energy, is about the life force.
Okay.
This is the difference between if you're dead or alive. And also your pulse and your breathing also matter.
As well. Thank you.
The Queen of Wands, I always think of her as the consummate party host.
I know.
Who kind of like, she creates a space for something to happen. And then as elements come in and out of that space, she kind of, did you meet so-and-so? You guys should talk. You both have this in common.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh no, we're out of hors d'oeuvres. Well, let's just throw this together and serve that. That's kind of, the Queen of Wands is... on the spot, creative in the moment,
mm-hmm.
and also is fearless about expressing her vision. It's totally open to kind of divine impulse and influence, and doesn't really care what anybody thinks.
And this is what we need to be doing. Is what
yeah,
you're saying. Okay.
I think of like Prince as the very Queen of Wands.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
like it's this like really intense fire energy that's just like you're where you are moved by it. There's also the King of Wands, which is the masculine element of that, which is more you command it and you, you are the one with, like, mastery over it. The Queen is more like, well, I found this thing, I guess I'll do something with it. You
mm-hmm.
see that there's, like, a slight difference. I love it. It's perfect for you guys. Because it says that you're really hitting your stride right now, that this is a good time. If you had kind of new ideas for, you know, since we're talking about the podcast, like segments or things that you wanted to do or ways that you wanted to reach out to your listeners, this would be the time to do it. If you wanted to get headshots, this would be a great time for headshots. Or
I can't imagine a headshot.
You guys got to get one.
We have our logo where half of my face and half of Katie's face are like melded together.
Yeah,
like, that's as good as we got. Yeah, that's it.
That sounds fascinating.
It's you can see it if you look at the podcast. If you look at iTunes, it's like half of Katie's head and half of my head.
Yes.
At a 45 degree angle.
Yes.
So
that's awesome.
If people are looking to find you, how can they do so?
Easiest thing is to shoot me a text, 860-823-8605. Oh, also, real quick thing, I am on a radio station now.
Oh, right.
On the regular?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Once a month.
Okay.
It's Hudson Valley Country, which is kind of a funny mix for me. It's not necessarily my roots, but I do I love it, actually. And I've started to really enjoy some country music. Because I listen to it, I'll be driving into the station, I flip it on just to listen to my...
I like older country music, but new country music just sounds kind of like pop to me.
Yeah, I like a tear in my beer.
Some Merle Haggard. Yeah.
I've cultivated new tastes. They say it takes, like, a special person to be able to cultivate new music tastes after, like, 30.
Yeah, because you calcify. Some sort of, I'm still listening to Stone Temple Pilots, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my son's really into Young Thug. I just sound like the whitest, oldest woman? Young Thug, have you heard of this thing called Young Thug?
A young man. He calls himself Young Thug.
At least you got it right. I probably would have been like, you know, smallish thug.
Young Thug. Young Lean. There's Young Thug. They're like, and my son and I are constantly in this
argument. How young are these thugs?
They're like in their 20s.
That's not young.
And Young Thug kind of, he's got like a Dennis Rodman kind of vibe. He's got his septum pierced and he's...
That's old fashioned, sorry.
And they mumble a lot. It's very difficult to understand them when you're
They're thugs.
Age.
And they're young.
Thugs and they're young.
So I think elocution is not a part of their game.
So my son and I are always in this old school, new school hip hop debate. Anyway, where did I?
There was a friend's mother is a realtor, and she took out a certain rapper to show him houses in North Jersey. And she was like, oh, his name, it's a money name. It's a money name. 50 Cent?
It's like, yes. Yeah. It's a money name. Coins are involved. Yeah. Half dollar.
Anyway. What was I talking about? Country music.
Country music.
And so it's 94.3, 97.3, The Wolf.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's nice.
Just one?
Just one. It's The Wolf.
Okay. It's not three Wolf Moon.
And I'm on in the mornings with CJ and Jess, and they are really, truly, present company excluded, among the most delightful people I've ever met in my life.
Oh, that's cool. Like
they are genuinely... wonderful. I was a little terrified of the whole morning show DJ thing.
Because it's going to be like, ooga.
And people love to like make fun of tarot card readers. Yes. Like, so you're going to tell the fortune, whatever. And they, none of that. They're so
they
nice.
They really do have the worst. It's like a used car salesman. Oh. When you think about morning talk show hosts, radio hosts, it's just a negative connotation. Yeah.
But these two, they're, and I'm not just saying that they're wonderful. So we've got a big event coming up on May 10th.
Okay.
Called What Women Want, and it's a free event, and it's kind of like a big expo of everything you can imagine. Every vendor, everything.
Foot rubs better be happening.
I am
that's what
sure
women want.
Foot rubs are happening.
I better be off my feet the moment I get in there.
And then they have VIP tickets, and if you purchase a VIP ticket, I think it's $20. Mm-hmm. You get to come get a reading with me.
Yeah,
oh, that's awesome.
Huge. It's a huge deal, and it's really fun. So I'm doing that. Also, I'm up at Omega. We start up on, Omega Institute, Holistic Retreat Center up in Rhinebeck, New York, Hudson Valley, 2 hours north of the city. Wonderful place to go. EOmega.org.
Ding.
Yeah. Anyway, we start up. Our season goes from late April, early May, till the end of October. And so we start up, actually, I start on Tuesday. So if you're up in the area and you want to see me in person, you can come up to Omega. And then I do tarot live there at Omega every Monday night, and you can kind of pop into the cafe and just, I do take tips. That's really
cool.
Fun. I also have an online thing where you can pay and book your readings without ever having to interact with me.
Wow, you're getting fancy.
Yeah, really fancy. So
that's
our
website.
Metamarcy.acuity, which is A-C-U-I-T-Y. scheduling.com, metamarcy.acuityscheduling.com. But if you go to metamarcy.com, you'll leave you right there, too.
All right.
So all of those different ways of getting in touch with me. And what I'm doing right now is for the month of May, it's my birthday.
Oh.
The whole month, people.
Whole month. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hello. But my birthday is actually Monday. And for the month of May, anyone that books a package in the month of May that mentions, hey, you know it, that's important.
Okay.
Gets a free 20-minute reading to either keep for themselves or give to a friend.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really great, you guys.
Yeah.
That's a nice deal. So
And 20 minutes is a good, you can get a solid read on a specific situation. Mm-hmm. So what should I do with my relationship? What's going on with my career?
But it also is a nice way, maybe, if you're giving it to a friend or someone who's never done it before and is maybe intimidated by a full
hour.
Yeah,
it's not the commitment of a whole hour where someone's just digging through all your stuff. It's a nice overview, one or two good insights that might kind of shake some things up, and then always the opportunity to work with me further. You know?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a nice way to stick your toe in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
dip. That sounds kind of dip. Gross. I'm gonna dip my toe in it.
Sticking their toe.
Can
in
I dip my toe? Is that better?
That didn't come out right.
Stick a toe in it.
Dip your toe in the water.
Sticking toes.
That's what I meant.
Well, I mean, I want to thank you so much for coming.
I love having you guys.
Do you?
I'm tired.
Thank you for having me.
We're so happy you came in. I'm so glad we finally emerged. Woo.
All right, cool.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
I'm gonna say that this card was for all three of us.
Okay. Right. Are you jumping on my card?
That was appropriate.
Muscling it on my card.
All right.
So the Queen of Wands, it's the card that when it comes up in a reading for me, I know it's talking about me because it's so awesome, I guess. Whatever. Yeah. But the Queen of Wands, so wands represent the element of, who remembers?
That wand is,
You can even use a cue from the card. It kind of looks...
I would say, no, creativity and work, right?
That's right, penis.
Creativity.
That's not
penis,
right.
Yes.
Yes, penis
it's
news.
It's the element of penis.
Well, I like to call this the BJ card.
The beach
card. The BJ card.
Because it's a woman with a
wand. Oh, yeah, she's just wearing it. Yeah.
It's the HJ.
It is the...
Hojanskis, not Bojanskis. Thank you.
It's...